Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, we'll read through verse 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world, a city on top of a hill that can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We would do well to pay attention to the role of light in our liturgical calendar. Through the longest hours of darkness, the season of Advent calls us to look to the promise of the great light that shall dawn. The message of Christmas is that Christ, the light of the world, has come, and the world failed to recognize it. Epiphany is our pursuit of the places and the ways the light of God continues to emerge around us. Next week, on Transfiguration Sunday, we will see the account of how Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. In the upcoming season of Lent, we will be called to subject ourselves to the refining fires of God, purging our lives of the things which no longer serve us, to make room for the light of God to fill our lives. During Holy Week, we will watch the futile efforts of the empire to extinguish the fullness of the light of God which came to dwell in Christ. Come Easter, we will celebrate the victory of the light over the darkness of the tomb. On Pentecost, we will see the Spirit descending and resting upon the apostles as tongues of fire, filling the church with a burning passion of God. Our spiritual nurture will continually be sustained through summer's greening season by looking to God's holy word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. God is a fountain of cascading light and opens our eyes to light. God spoke over the dark chaos of creation, when the earth was formless and void, saying, "Let there be light." God is a God who wants light to be seen, tended, preserved, and shared. It should be no surprise, then, that Jesus works the topic of light into the Sermon on the Mount, saying, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines upon all who are in the house." Several memories come to mind as we hear those familiar words, and most probably is that song, "This Little Light of Mine," we enjoy singing. And you know, some songs get ruined because you get in trouble over them. Frosty the Snowman and I, we have a feud that goes way back. But I also got in trouble for this song once and for this Bible story. But it hasn't put out the light that, well, is within me. It happened, it was triggered, a memory, every time I read this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, of taking my girls to see the movie Tangled. Tangled is the Disney animated musical based on the fairy tale you might know as Rapunzel. The movie came out in 2010, so the girls were like 6 and 4, and I was, well, I was old enough to behave better than I did. There we were, sitting in to watch the movie. Flynn Rider had my full attention with that description of the golden light coming to earth, a light that had powers of healing and of life. But I couldn't contain myself when Mother Gothel appeared, and finding the light, she tried to cover it with a basket. Straight out of the Sermon on the Mount, I said out loud. I let out an audible gasp as Mother Gothel discovered the power of the light to keep her young for all eternity. I was bouncing up and down in my seat, literally, and pointing wildly at the screen as the queen, taking up the cup, received the light and was healed. Then, when Rapunzel became the incarnation of the light, I became a distraction to the whole theater. My wife got me under control, just as Mother Gothel did the light, as she imprisoned it and attempted to keep it hidden safely in the tower, in safety away from the world. Diane, in her best mom's voice, said, "What's gotten into you?" I said, The light has gotten into me. That's what." I went on to explain how this short clip vividly portrayed the response that has been made to God's light that has come to us in Christ. Yes, God has sent the light, light that holds the power of healing and of life. We, as the church, are reminded that whenever we take up the cup, we are blessed by Christ, and we also receive that light. In the cup, we receive the healing and life that it promises. We receive the light that was first in Christ. And the part of Mother Gothel, well, that reminds me of what we unfortunately sometimes do with the light that we have received. Oh, we all know you don't put it under a basket, but Mother Gothel doesn't stop with the basket idea. She fancies herself the protector of the light. Gothel is the German word for godmother. She tells Rapunzel that she is keeping her locked in the tower to protect her from the darkness that is in the world. All the while, Mother Gothel is actually much more interested in benefiting from for all eternity by keeping the light all to herself. But it sounds less selfish and more noble to be the protector of the light, to guard it. Have maybe we been more influenced by Mother Gothel than Jesus when it comes to letting our light shine? In projection of our own role as self-appointed keepers of the light, do we attempt somehow to lock up all that we know of the light in our towers, within our walls, to gather and warm ourselves in the glow of that moment? Do we somehow see ourselves as keepers and protectors of the light, Mother Gothel kind of character? Religion is in itself a container in which we organize and keep our understanding of the holy, the truth and light that we have received. Eckhart Tolle has said, "Dogmas, be they religious, political, or scientific, arise out of the erroneous belief that thoughts can encapsulate reality of the truth." Tolle says, "Dogmas are collective conceptual prisons, or Gothel towers." And the strange thing is that people love their prison cells because they have given a sense of security and a false sense of knowing. Nothing has inflicted more suffering on humanity than its dogmas. It is true that every dogma crumbles sooner or later because reality will eventually disclose its falseness. However, unless the basic delusion of it is seen for what it is, it will be replaced by other dogmas. In the Sermon on the Mount, there's not a single word about what to believe, only words about what to do and what to be. By the time the Nicene Creed is written, only 3 centuries later, there's no longer a single word in it about what to do or how to be, only words about what we must believe. The light does not need our protection from the darkness. What the light needs is freedom to do the work of dispelling the darkness that is clearly in the world. Christ calls us to be bearers, not keepers, of the light. To set our light on a stand that it may give light to all in the house. To let the light we receive shine before others so that they may see good works, works of mercy and compassion, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, and visiting those in prison, that they may give glory to our Father in heaven. It's time to let our light shine. To free the light that we have for too long kept to ourselves. Hide it under a basket? No. Lock it up in our tower? No again. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Not to spoil the movie, but Rapunzel finally gets out of that tower, as the light always does. In the end, the light, having been freed, the whole kingdom rejoices. Then Rapunzel's song becomes, "All those days watching from my window, all those years from outside looking in, never even knowing just how blind I'd been, suddenly I see the light. It's like the fog is lifted and the sky has moved. The world has somehow shifted." Since from in the beginning, God has said and is still saying, "Let there be light." Our call is to see the light and to become the light and to let our light shine. That is what Epiphany is all about. We set out on this Epiphany journey as our way was being lighted by the star of the Magi, seeking the disclosure of the presence of the Christ child. As did the Magi, we have become aware of empires who are more committed to darkness than light. We have seen how empires continue to trouble whole communities, terrorizing and desecrating places where the light is struggling to emerge with a force that overcomes death in the tomb. The warning of God to us, as it came to the Magi, is that maybe we need to shift our course, going forward by a new and different way in order to allow God's light and to assist God's light in emerging with enough radiance to dispel all the darkest forces of evil. Don't you think we've watched from our window long enough? Don't you think it's time for the fog to lift? Don't you think it's time to move the sky, to shift the world, to dispel darkness? I believe it's time for us to rejoice and for God to be glorified. Amen.